So, good evening, everyone. This is Shaya Ostrov, and I welcome you to this first session of a program that we're calling Guiding Lights in Finding Your Basharit. And I'll explain in a moment what Guiding Lights is. And I first want to thank Rebbetzin Cohen for so graciously coordinating and her efforts to put this together. And I wish you all great, great success in discovering your Basharit. I call the program Guiding Lights because it's these are all Torah-based transforming skills and principles that will be learning in each of these sessions. Some sessions will have one or two, but some are composed of meditations, but some are composed of other kinds of activities that I'll be giving you. But each of them is, once you learn them, you'll find that the inherent power and influence that these guiding lights have on your thoughts, on your feelings, on your perceptions, on your way of communicating. And so today the guiding lights that we're going to be learning is one based on kind of developing a laser-sharp life focus in an activity which I call golden threads, which I'll get to explain in a moment. And then we're going to do an overview of Menuchas HaNefesh, not an in-depth overview, but I'll be giving you materials or sources that you can go to get a deeper understanding of Menuchas HaNefesh. And then we're going to discuss relationships, and we're going to learn the guiding light of the inner circle, and which we'll do today, actually, hopefully. And then we're going to learn a way of transforming your negative thoughts and your any negative self-image you may have, because we all struggle with that. And then a way of quieting yourself down in a social context and also dealing with anxiety. And then we're going to learn the three most important relationship building skills later on the program, which are affirmations, inner history, and vulnerability. I expect that the program will run between 4 and 5 sessions, not less than 4, not more than 5. And I believe that the pace will be pretty quick, so you'll be given recordings and the opportunity to go over them. And while I'm addressing you as women, the material really is appropriate for both men and women. And I make no distinction in these skills that I teach. I do want to say one thing, that the programs that you'll be hearing and having the recordings of, I prefer that you not share them with anyone without my permission. However, if you're dating somebody and you want your dating partner to hear the programs, please feel free. Or if you want to teach somebody from beginning to end using the programs, then I give you permission. And if one day one of you feel that the program is of such great value, you want to run a group in it, then you're certainly welcome to do so. But not just to give it out. Okay, so with that, we can begin this first session. And the question that we're dealing with is, what has changed within the shidduch world, within the dating world? There's something that Chazal teaches, not about dating, but about chavrusas. It comes from a Gemara. And the Gemara says, or chavrusa or misusa, which means that anyone who learns really needs a chavrusa with whom to learn. And if you don't have a chavrusa, it says, oh, chavrusa misuso, means you die. Not, obviously not physically, but although the Gemara's example does relate to someone who was deathly ill because of it, but it means life can't go on without a chavrusa. I think that the difference in today's dating shidduchim and previous generations was that the o chavrusa o misusa model, which is either I get married or I'm finished, right? There's nothing else in life. And it's true. But other generations understood this. Someone just told me that China, that the marriage rate in China has dropped almost one half in just a few years. Incredible. And why? It's because society now gives many competing options. One's profession, one's social media contacts, interests. In other words, marriage is no longer seen by the rest of the world as a necessary and central mission in one's life. It's just not perceived that way anymore. We, as B'nai B'nos Torah, understand that nothing has changed, that marriage is something which is built into our neshamas. Abim Yom, before we're born, there's a bas kol that goes out and connects two neshamas in a very intimate way, and they have to discover each other in life. And we'll be discussing that a little later on. So life has many more options, or really pseudo options, for the non-Jewish world. But none of them are true options, because nothing can replace one's life neshama partner, and it's been replaced by interests and other competing elements within society. Now, what does that mean to us? Well, we too need distractions. Someone who's not married yet needs a job, needs interests, needs friends, needs travel, needs to do things. But all too frequently, while whether it's a man or a woman, and you're involved in these interests and that are necessary for your survival while you're waiting for your basheret, waiting to discover your basheret. So a lot of the influences around us, they may come from the kind of work we do, some work activities are more emotional, some more are more, you know, cognitive and logical, which really kind of take us away from the relationship building. And some are so overwhelming, people in medicine, people in law, and people dealing with special needs individuals, they're overwhelming. And as individuals become more and more involved in these professions and these activities, and friends, they influence our thinking. They don't influence marriage as a life goal. That's there. But they do influence the way we communicate and how we assess things. I remember one young lady, she was about close to 30. She wanted very much to get married, and finally on the day that the young man she was dating told her she wants to go back to the restaurant where they had their first meal and he's going to propose, right? And all of a sudden, at first she was happy, but then she said, "That's wonderful, but I have a problem. What am I going to tell my roommate, right?" Now, obviously, it didn't stop her. But we see that the kind of investments that we make in life are affected by particularly people in the mental health field, where they begin to understand relationships from a secular perspective or the intensity of a of an experience with a client, and that individual may be going out with a man or a woman who will be Ben or Bastor, but doesn't really understand the nature of the intensity of this experience. Right? It affects the way we see people. So what happens in dating, which is why so many people can be dating for so long, which never happened before in any period of history, what happens is that we will date, but can't seem to thread the needle consistently in building a relationship. An accountant will always be diverted, whatever the version, when it comes to April 15th, right? A doctor will always be diverted when he's on call, right? And so on and so forth. It goes on and on and on. So what we really need is a focus. And that's the first thing I want to talk about today, of how to maintain that focus without diminishing your capacity, your skills, your commitment to what you're doing. What you're doing is essential. It's essential for your own kiyum, your own self-preservation, parnasa, dignity, everything. But how to maintain the focus in a way that actually enhances you as a person, regardless of your relationships with others or your profession or your interests, right? And why do we need that focus? Because you have to remember that for two people to date and become engaged, these two people have to develop an incredibly deep relationship over a fairly short period of time. Now, obviously, if a couple is 21 and they're just coming out of seminary in the mirror, whatever, so it's a shorter period of time. When you're older, you need more time. So, but So I just want to put this down somewhere. So we know you need more time, but the end result is always the same. The end result is that you have to develop a relationship with a person that's consonant with your deepest neshama self, what I call your neshama state of mind. Because it was your neshama that heard the bas kol. You aren't aware. But for two people to get married, I always say, you have to be best friends. You have to feel that each other is the safest place in the universe. There has to be a profound sense of trust and security and understanding and safety with that person. Frequently somebody will say, how do we know that I'm ready to get married? Particularly if a young woman will say, I'll say, well, if you feel that you can safely place your life in his hands, right, you're ready to get married. And if you can't, then you're not ready to get married. We have to work through everything that makes you feel unsafe, whether it's coming from you or it's coming from something you see in him, and vice versa. So how do we create and maintain this focus? And how do we internalize it? So and utilize it, whether we're with colleagues or with friends or on a date or our parents, wherever we may be, with whomever we may be. How do we develop this focus that will lead us to discover our life partner? And that's where the first guiding light, which I call golden threads, comes in. Now, the name golden threads I did not have last week. I had the concept last week, but the name I developed came to me over Shabbos. Why? Because this Shabbos was Parsha Shkolim. This Shabbos was a Parsha dealing with the building of the Mishkan. And originally I had names of golden sequence, right? Golden prose. Or in Ivrit, I would call it a pismon, something you tell yourself over and over again. But as I was listening to the laning, and I imagined these very fine golden filaments, right, that went into the cables and into the base of Migdash and into the tapestries and into the curtains, I said, that's a great name, golden threads, because that's what these are. So this is a fresh name, right out of the oven, right? Golden threads. Now, what does golden threads mean? I mean, how do you use it? So golden threads is each of us, we know ourselves, we know what we're looking for. We also know our strengths, we know our limitations. And so we need to always see both in perspective to be in this, what I call, neshama state of mind. And we'll go into that a little bit later as well. So golden threads are, these are statements. There are actually four. It's a four-part pismon or prose that contains your present state, right? Your present state as you're looking for your life partner. That also contains the challenge you're facing. And the challenge doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. The challenge may be that I haven't had a date in 6 months, right? Or the challenge may be I haven't really dated anybody who is even close to what I'm looking for. Or the challenge may be that I have nisyonos in my own life that I'm trying to work through, and they keep on popping up, right? So it's understanding the mission and understanding the challenges, which in no way assumes that there's a problem with anybody, just these nisyonos, right? And because Hashem gives us all of our nisyonos, where we come from, our families, our interests, our well-being, Hashem gives everything to us. But so this four-part pismon or prose, which you call golden threads, is something that I'm going to teach you right now. And if you wish, you can write it down, or in the I'll send you an email with all four of these golden threads. And once I teach them to you, you'll find that by repeating that over and over again, these golden threads, maybe before you go on a date, maybe before you go into the office, maybe before you take you have a meeting with some friends and you walk into a l'chaim or a vort or a wedding, and you want to remind yourself, right, of your focus. So there are four elements to these golden threads. The first is a statement that you make to Hashem, right, about your life mission. And the second is what Hashem has given you to fulfill your life mission. The third is the challenge that you're facing, right? And that you will all fill in individually. And the fourth is a statement of commitment and obligation and determination to fulfill this life mission. Okay, those are the four elements. And so let's cover them. So the first one is, Hashem, you have created me with a life mission to discover my Besheret and to share a life which is fulfilled and filled with meaning in Olam Hazeh and even beyond in Olam Haba. I say that because there's a Chazal that says that a husband and wife not only share life in Olam Hazeh, but they share a table in Olam Haba together. There's a Chazal about that, which I'm not going to go into right now. Time doesn't permit. That's the first statement. Once again, Hashem, you have created me with a life mission to discover my Sheret, my life partner, and to share a life filled with meaning and love in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. You can kind of modify these as you wish. The second statement is, and you, Hashem, have given me a neshama, which is forever searching and guiding me to discover my Besheret, my life partner. Remember, the neshama that heard the bas kol before we were born lives within us. Every morning we say, Modeh ani lefanecha melech hayav kayam, shechazarti bi neshmasi, right? The neshama is always, they heard the bas kol. And it's searching throughout our lives for this bas kol, for designated life partner. The third deals with our challenges. Hashem, you have also given me a nisayon, a challenge that will always distract me, right, and divert me. And you can then say what it is, right? And you want me to overcome this challenge and fulfill my life mission. It's a concept in Chazal which is central to being a Torah individual, that all of life is learning to overcome our nisoyon, our challenges. And this is no less a challenge, even greater. Okay? So once again, however, you have also given me an assignment, a challenge that will always distract me and divert me. And you want me to overcome this challenge and fulfill my life mission. And the fourth of the golden threads is, and I am determined to remain focused on my life mission until, Be'ez Hashem, I discover my Besheret and build a life you created me to lead. Right? So there you have the four statements of your... Now my suggestion to you, when you hear the recording or when you write out yourself, you can modify it any way you wish, contain these four elements, and you repeat it when you walk into work, when you walk onto a train, onto a plane, with friends, on a date, before a date, after a date. It gives you a focus and perspective that that is able to continuously give life, give this mission of life a neshamadic perspective, and without detracting anything from who you are and what your interests are. So this has been our first guiding light, which we call golden threads. And once you do it, and once you start using it, you'll find a remarkable, remarkable change in a very refreshing way. You can do it before you daven, you can do it before you make a bracha, not all day long, just give yourself a breather, right? You'll find the right time to say it. Now I want to take the next step, and next is to discuss Menuchas HaNefesh. I'm going to give you a very brief overview of Menuchas HaNefesh, and then we're going to go into a meditation, right? Called Inner Circle. Now, Menuchas HaNefesh is a state of mind, and Chazal tells us that there are eight elements that we mention every Shabbos afternoon. That are the elements of Menuchas Nefesh. What are they? They are love, Ava, Nedava, the ability to give, Emes, truth, Emuna, belief, Shalom, inner peace, Shalva, kind of tranquility, Hashkeit, quiet, and Betach, Bitochen. These are eight elements that we say in the Shabbos Mincha, and Menuchas HaNefesh becomes that medium, that way of perceiving life every moment in a gentler, quieter, more balanced way that enables us to live within our neshama state of mind. There cannot be love without Menuchas HaNefesh. There cannot be a neshama state of mind without Menuchas HaNefesh. A person who is in extreme anxiety does not have Menuchas HaNefesh, is not in a neshama state of mind. A person on a roller coaster, I kind of laugh at it, but it really is. A young girl said to me, I'm engaged, I'm getting married, I want to break the engagement. I said, why? She said, because I'm not excited by him. I said, what am I excited? He said, well, she says, when I go to Six Flags, I do the bungee jumping, right? This girl has no understanding of a relationship. You understand? It's not Menuchas HaNefesh. It's a thrill. It's adrenaline. It's excitement. But it's not Menuchas HaNefesh. When people get engaged, frequently they'll say, but I'm not excited. And the answer is, you shouldn't be. And during the vor, during the chayim, is great, people coming over. But you yourself have to be Menuchas HaNefesh in terms of the relationship. Now I'd like you to learn more about Menuchas HaNefesh, and if you wish, I can give you recordings to listen to. Particularly the introductory recordings of Menuchas HaNefesh, there are three of them. Or my books, two of the books are, one is the Menucha Principle in Shidduchim, Dating and Engagement, and the other book is the Menucha Principle for Life. So I'm giving you just a very quick overview of Menuchas HaNefesh, and those who want to learn more about it, please refer to these sources. Now, Menuchas HaNefesh has five different elements. Now, how do I know that I'm a Menuchas HaNefesh? Well, there are five different ways of experiencing Menuchas HaNefesh. I call five dimensions of self, which I write about in the books and speak about on the recordings. The first is relationships. I have a relationship with someone with whom I trust and feel very close to and feel very secure with, right? It may not be the person I'm dating. It may be a sister. It may be a parent. It may be a grandparent. It may be a teacher. In that relationship, we're going to do something called the inner circle in a little while that really gives us a chance to experience this. The other is thoughts. I have a thought in my mind. Some people say I'm always overthinking. If you're always overthinking, then thoughts are flying through your brain like a Star Wars movie, right? We have approximately 50,000 thoughts a day. Menuchas HaNefesh means learning to control or learn to have mastery over these thoughts, how to focus on the positive ones and how to tranquilize the negative ones, right? So that's the second dimension. First is relationships, and then there's thoughts. The third dimension is our feelings. If a person is feeling upset, angry, sad, that's not Menuchas HaNefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh is when a person feels whole, complete, right? Loving, caring, empathizing, right? That's Menuchas HaNefesh. That's the third. The fourth dimension is your physiology. When your body is 98.6, which means that you're just feeling healthy, you're feeling secure. Now, I'm an elder's 80, so my physiology is not the same as yours. I have aches and pains every day, right? But that doesn't mean it takes away from my menuchos and nefesh, my physiology. I know what is wrong when something is wrong, and I know what to expect as part of my life. But when my heart is palpitating, that's not menuchos nefesh. When I'm scared and panicking, that's not menuchos and nefesh. Right? Menuchos and nefesh is when I feel I have a sense of control and familiarity and comfort with the way my body is functioning. A young woman once told me, I don't know if I can get married to this guy. I was sitting with him yesterday. He's a nice guy. But I wanted to retch, right? I wanted. She thought that as sort of as a signal to get out of the engagement. I told her, no, don't let your stomach make your decisions, right? You're anxious, and it's affecting you physiologically, right? And the last is your behavior. What you do and what you say and how you say it, right? The chasodim, the thing you do, the gestures, right? So these are the five dimensions of menuchos nefesh, which we'll learn more about in the recordings that I can provide for you and also in the books. Our relationships, our thoughts, our feelings, our physiology, and our behavior. Now, good. I think time-wise we're fairly good. So the secret, the first of the dimensions in menuchos nefesh is relationships. You know, frequently we hear things like, I want him to open up, right? I want him to be vulnerable. I want to see the real person. I want to see what? People don't really know what they're saying. They want something to happen, but they don't really know what they want to happen. And frequently a dating coach will tell you to do that, but it's more frequently than not, they won't go anywhere because no one's really clear about what that means. But there is one truth I can share with you that I heard from the Gadol many years ago of Huttner. It's just Yitzhak Huttner, who told me something, and if ever I've heard anything in my entire career, in just a few words, that changed everything, this was it. And he was talking to me as a therapist, because I was working with somebody who, today I don't consider myself a therapist, but I was working with somebody who he knew very well, and he wanted me to help them. And as I was leaving his office, he said to me something I've never forgotten, and which has set the stage for almost everything I've done since. He said to me, when you are working with somebody and you feel that you've helped them, he said, don't believe that you read something in a book and you use that theory. It's not true. If you have helped somebody, it's because your neshama somehow communicated and touched their neshama and brought that person back to health. Right? In the dating world, when people say, this is our fifth date, and it's still sort of like our first date, right? Or we're not connecting, what it really means is the neshamas are not speaking to each other. You only build a relationship when you yourself are in a neshama state of mind. And I'm going to discuss with you, the whole program is going to be about this neshama state of mind. We're going to do something in a few moments that will demonstrate it more clearly. But the only way you develop a relationship is when you are in a neshama state of mind and that your partner is following your lead or has the ability to get there himself, right? Herself, wherever you're listening to this recording, right? And menuchos hanefesh becomes the primary medium for this neshama state of mind. Okay. In other words, we use this and menuchos hanefesh to cultivate relationships. Now, the first thing I want to teach you in a relationship is something that, when I discovered this, it was life-changing. For those of you who want to hear more about it, it's in the book, or I'll give you another recording. So we're going to do an abbreviated version, but I think it'll be just as effective. It's called the inner circle. I know you've heard the word inner circle, but I don't think you've ever heard it unless you've read my books and listened to my recordings. In a way, you're going to hear it now. I am speaking to you. I am using phrases, gestures. It's me, Shaya Ostroff, but it's more than me. Everything that I have been given by others, everything that others have generously given of themselves to me to enable me to grow, to develop, that person who has given me this gift of life is a part of my inner circle. It may be Rav Huttner, who gave me that phrase that I just shared with you. It may be my grandfather from Boston. It may be my mother, who I loved dearly until her death at the age of 91. Or maybe my father, who was Nifter when I was just 10 years old. And the way I discovered the inner circle was, as I grew older, I didn't know my father. And I went back to get memories and memories to try to retrieve them. And then I began to pick up moments here and there that touched me deeply. And I understood, even though he was Nifter when I was just a young man, young boy, he had become a major center of myself, my inner circle. Now, what I want to do with you is I want to do an inner circle experience with you. Why? Because when you do an inner circle experience, you understand what it means to have a relationship with somebody. You understand the meaning of a profoundly meaningful relationship. And this is the meaningful relationship, not the same way, the way I related to my grandfather or my father, Olam Shalom, right? Or my second grade teacher, right, is not going to be the way I'm relating to my wife, or if I was dating to my dating partner. But it does show me of what's brought out in me, what I experience, the kind of sense of trust and security, right, and gratitude. Right? That's what comes out. And this is what we're always attempting to build in a relationship that makes a relationship a real relationship. So we're going to do an inner circle experience. How do we do this? Well, I'm going to ask each of you to write the names of three individuals, or think of three individuals who you've been close to in life. It could be a parent, it could be a grandparent, it could be a sibling. It could be a teacher, a seminary teacher, a rabbi, a rebbetzin, right? A camp counselor. Right? Think of three people who have influenced your life. And you may have known them all your life, or you may have known them for a summer or an hour. I only met Rav Huttner for who knows how short that was, but the impact has been a lifetime, right? And if you can't think of three, just think of one. And if you can't think of anybody, just we'll do the experience anyway, and you'll have a chance to review it and fill in the names and the experiences of the person who was part of your inner circle. So of the three, select just one now. And if you only have one, that's fine. Stay with that one. Now I'm going to ask you to think of a place that you associate with that person. Maybe it's in your bubby's kitchen. Maybe it's in the teacher's room of your seminary that you went to. Wherever it was. Think of that, of a person, of the place, and of a general time. Maybe you're an adolescent. Maybe you're a, a 10-year-old girl. Maybe it was happened last year. So we want the time, the person, and the place. Okay, and with that, we're now going to move for an inner circle experience. So I'd like you to imagine, close your eyes. I'd like you to imagine that wherever this place is, it's night, it's dark, you're standing outside of this place, outside of this home, outside of this school, right? Outside of the shul, wherever it may be, outside of the bunk. And you're able to look in and see there's light inside. But you also can see, as you open the door, that there's no one there. It's quiet. But as you open the door, you can kind of see things that you remember. Maybe you're in someone's living room. You see things on the wall. You see things, furnishings. You may even hear noises that you associate with this place, or aromas, maybe your Bubby's kitchen. Right? You can even touch the walls, touch the furnishings, be in that place, put yourself in that place, and now find a place to sit quietly by yourself. Take a deep breath and take in the place. And I'd like you to imagine now that you hear footsteps coming towards you. And as the footsteps come towards you closer and closer, you can begin to see the visage of a person, a form. And you recognize this form is the form of this individual who is in my inner circle. And as the person gets closer, you can now begin to see the face. And closer, you can begin to see the eyes stand up. Stand up to greet this person. If it's appropriate and you're comfortable, give the person a hug. And as you stand, and if not, then just greet verbally. And as you stand face to face with an individual, you see, you're able to see the eyes of this person looking at you. And the eyes are eyes of caring. The eyes are eyes of love. Eyes of someone who wants to give you something of themselves. Somebody who's ready to be moser nefesh for you. And you realize how important you are in the eyes of this individual. How chashuv you are. How special you are. And this person is enabling you to feel this way. The neshama behind the eyes of this person is touching the neshama within you. It's a neshama to neshama experience. And I'd like you now to look at this person once again and say, there are no words to express the caring I feel that you have for me, the concern you have for me. I can't possibly share what enables me to feel like inside. I feel like a whole and worthy and cared for individual. It's a gift of life that I will never forget. Once again, if it's appropriate, I'd like you to take the back of your hand and touch the person's face, only if it's appropriate. And now I'd like you to imagine you close your eyes and you think of Hashem. You say, Hashem, thank you. You have brought this individual into my life. I am Makar Tov. I appreciate the gift that you have given me. This person is now a part of my inner circle, because you have enabled this to occur. You willed it, and this person was willing as well. And this has enriched me. I thank you very much. And with this, you now, once again, imagine looking at this individual, and you're now going to back away, holding on to this neshama state of mind, holding on to this feeling of gratitude, holding on to this meaning of a relationship, a real relationship, and back away out of the room, back into the street, back into the darkness, but you're carrying light within you now. The light of being illuminated by your inner circle. And you're out in the street now. And you know you're going to carry this around with you wherever you go. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. So, this has been an inner circle experience. And in the depth of the connection, you've experienced your neshama state of mind, menugos hanefesh. In future meetings, we're going to be, as I said before, we're going to be talking about your thoughts and your feelings and many other things. But as I said before, I want to leave 15 minutes for Q&A, and that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to unmute everyone. Sorry, no. I'll do that. Hold on, please. Good, okay. So I believe you can unmute yourself. I hope you can. Can you unmute yourselves if you wish to? Let's see.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, I hear you. You're very welcome. Anything you want to ask or say?
I have a question about the inner circle.